This is the Feast of All Saints. Today we have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. There will not be blessing of articles after Mass today. Tomorrow is the commemoration of All Souls, and there will be a high Requiem Mass at 9 in the morning and a low Requiem Mass at 7 in the evening. Tuesday after the 8:30 Mass will be the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. Thursday is the Holy Hour and the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 7 p.m. First Friday Mass is at 8:30, followed by a conference and rosary. First Saturday, we'll have catechism classes after the 8:30 Mass. And next Sunday, the Mass time returns to the regular time of 8 in the morning. All souls' envelopes must be returned today so we can put them on the altar for tomorrow. Today is, again, the Feast of All Saints. There's a commemoration of the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. Fortunately, All Saints' Day falls on a Sunday this year, so there's no confusion for the modern Catholic who might be confused if it fell on a Saturday or a Monday. They would not know whether to go to church that day. Fortunately, it fell on a Sunday this year, so the saints are honored. Monday is All Souls Day, and Wednesday is the Feast of St. Charles Borromeo. So, again, today we have benediction at 6. There are no blessing of articles after Mass. Tomorrow's Masses for All Souls Day are the High Mass at 9 and the 7 p.m. evening Mass. Tuesday is the cleaning of the chapel after 8:30. Thursday is the Holy Hour. 7, First Friday Mass at 8:30, and catechism classes after the 8:30 Mass. Next Sunday, the Mass is at 8. We won't take the time, because the announcer just said it, but we will just stress the importance, especially for all of us who have consecrated ourselves and our homes to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is another excellent time to spend time with our Lord in the Holy Hour, to come for the First Friday, and then following on that, the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady for the first Saturday. So this is an important week. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of the Apocalypse. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels who had it in their power to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser, 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 sealed. After this I saw a great multitude, which no man could number, out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and with palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing round about the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. At that time, Jesus, seeing the crowds, went up the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men reproach you and persecute you, and speaking falsely, say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, as Holy Mother the Church wants us to do on this day, we must rejoice. Gaudiamus. Let us rejoice in honoring all the saints. That's the introit. And it's a proud moment for any parent whenever the children achieve some kind of goal, there's always a celebration. Some birthday, graduation, whatever, there's a celebration. This is Holy Mother the Church's great celebration. Her children have made it. Despite all obstacles, they are safe in heaven. And because of the day of the Feast of Christ the King, which varies depending on the calendar, it's interesting and happy moment to think of this as the octave day of the Feast of Christ the King, which of course was last Sunday. Sometimes they come right after each other. We have a sacred triduum. But this year's special feature is that this is the octave day, the fruition of all that hard work, that militancy of the church in the world, led by Christ the King. It has come to fruition. That seed of grace planted has now come to the vision of God, the beatific vision, which we are all called to, which we all want to have. That's why we're here. Grace has brought us all here. No matter how weak may be our desire, we still all want to get to heaven, right? That's why we're here. This is the great moment. And Holy Mother of the Church wants to impress it on us that we all should be happy. It is for all the saints. There are only 365 days in the year. We can only celebrate so many feast days during the year. So this is for all the canonized saints, because they all don't have a universal feast day. We have in the daily martyrology, part of the office, that there is a recitation, very brief, of the saints of that day who are not on the universal calendar. And even that's not enough each day to list them all. This could be a whole page. And then it concludes with, "And for other martyrs, confessors, and virgins in other places, we remember them all." But this is the day we celebrate all the saints. And just as a reminder on that, when we talk about canonized saints, because we looked this up, there are just, now, I'm not going to give the whole story of that, but before you even can be canonized, there are several steps. And before you can be beatified, which is the step just beneath being canonized, there are 20 different procedural points that you have to do, which take years to accomplish. among them are certain hurdles like this, which, you know, is a special commission, cardinals, you know, all this. And among these 20 things, just point out a few. The person being proposed for canonization, or at this point, beatification, must demonstrate in speech, writing, activities, nothing that would be against faith and morals. If there's anything like that in the person's life, then they are immediately taken off the list for this process. Then, in another one of the categories, there is the test of heroic virtue. So we first establish that the person has the faith and practice the moral life. And then the church says, did they practice it in an heroic way? Not the common virtuous life, but the heroic life of the virtues. That's a big hurdle. And then after all of that human activity and investigation and hard work, taking witnesses and all that, then the church says, okay, we wait now for the divine element, that God grant miracles in this person's name, and only first-class miracles, immediate, supernatural, from source miracles. Nothing where the supposed miracle has the person show up at the canonization in the wheelchair. That doesn't seem to be a miracle of the first class. Now, you'll notice, so we're taking a little bit, just kind of a groundwork for all the people we're honoring today. We're honoring all the canonized saints who do not have the feast during the year. They're included. You'll notice that the person has to first not do anything against faith and morals. Faith is what we believe, and morals are what we practice. Pretty simple. So it's doctrine and practice. They are the same. Now we have grown up in a world that is got it all upside down. And we've heard this for many years, especially in our country, especially talking about Catholic politicians. I have to admit, first time we heard this, it throws you off. I am personally against abortion, but it's the law of the land, so I cannot impose my morality and teaching on others. Well, we have a disconnect. That person has a disconnect in his reality because he says he believes that abortion is murder. When it comes to the practice of living that out in his life, go ahead and murder. Doesn't that sound crazy? By the way, it's another example of there are many terrible crimes in our world today, but this is one of that is often neglected. And that is, as our father spoke about in the past, the sin of lying. It's unnatural. It's against our nature to lie. That's how evil it is. Why? Because we say something that in our mind, we have the truth in our mind, but we speak something that is not that truth. And that's why it's against our nature, because body and soul should work together. Here, the person who lies is forcing the body to do something against what's in its mind. That's why it's unnatural. That's what lying is, so it's a terrible thing. But to do the same thing by action, that is, I have the truth in my mind, but my actions are going to be opposite to that. That we call hypocrisy. It's lying by action. So when we have people saying, we uphold the truth, we uphold the doctrine of Christ, but we will not follow it in practice. That is hypocrisy of the highest order. That is not sanctity. That is not the sign of a saint. That is not the sign of actions of the church. Because we know the church is one holy Catholic and apostolic. And so it does not count that I can recite the creed. That is not enough. I must believe it and practice it. So that's the foundation for all the people that we're talking about in heaven, all the canonized saints. But on top of that, Holy Mother of the Church is rejoicing because of the, it says this right here in the Apocalypse, the numberless saints in heaven that we do not know yet. Some of them we might know because it includes small children who may have gone to heaven before the age of reason and they were baptized. They are the saints. So there are many people we can think of, people in this group, people that we know. They are our saints. We pray to them today. This is their day. And then all the people from all walks of life, the Apocalypse, the epistle is telling us, all people, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, all professions. We looked at the calendar, which of course is the great source for all kinds of information. And just in case we don't forget, because this year we have the special promises about the rosary. One of them is that the Blessed Mother said, I have obtained from my divine Son the promise that those who are devoted to the rosary will have the intercession of all the saints in heaven. That's just one of the promises, but we mention that because that's today's feast, all the saints. Saying the rosary gains you all this help as a pledge from God through the Blessed Mother. Just a footnote. But when we talk about all the saints, and we looked at the calendar, as I said, in the back, and we did not go through it. It's a major long list of the patron saints. So we just took top, this column, that. So they ended up eight things. And it starts with accountants. That's St. Matthew. So people who work with numbers need help. And then down at the bottom, this was an interesting one, a patron saint for difficult marriages. That might, everybody who's married maybe. That's St. Monica. And then next part says diocesan priests. Well, we need help. And then, the infants. Even from the womb, we have our own patron saint. Of course, the Holy Innocents. Oh, I forget the rest. At the end, for youth, boys and girls, St. Agnes and St. Aloysius. So I forget the others. But every part of our lives, no matter who we are, what we do, there is a saint. Someone else has done it. It can be done. There are even saints for the internet and things, believe it or not. When there was no computers back then. But some of these saints, I'm thinking of St. Ildefonsus, or St. Isidore of Seville, is the patron of the internet because his knowledge was so encyclopedic. He was like the internet. So that's how they apply that. But anyway, so there's no reason for any of us to ever be downcast. Someone has already walked the path for us. Of course, our Lord didn't in everyone's case. So we are celebrating this, and so we turn right away to how we do it, and those are the four ends of prayer. Of course, adoring God, that's always what's happening. And just on that point, of course, when we honor the saints, we are giving them an honor which is not divine. And it's all specified. That honor that is reserved for God, the divine honor, is called latria. That's not what we give the saints. They are given a lower honoring, so that's what they do get honored, and it's called dulia. And then there's a saint that's even higher than the saints, the other saints, but not as high as God, hyperdulia, which we give to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So this is all understood. But the first thing is we adore God on this day, and we honor his saints. And we ask them for help. And we ask God to make us like them. We make up for all the neglect we have done and maybe if we go beyond that, make up for the neglect of others. Thinking of the fourth, Thanksgiving. We thank God for giving us saints, proving that he can undo evil and give us the ability to be good. That's grace. It's not an illusion. These people in heaven are not hiding behind some kind of a screen or something, and God makes believe they're good. They are in fact good. That's why we can rejoice. And the text of the Mass, the collect, this is why this feast is so attacked by non-Catholics. We won't go through all that. But the Mass texts and the doctrine are all to combat these things which the devil sets up, to trap people, to lead them away, to lead them away from the saints. All of these things are helps to get us to heaven. The saints are helps. One of the other things that the devil does is he tricks people to move them away from priests. Don't trust the priests. Now, of course, we've got problems nowadays. But without any reason to not trust the priests, you are cutting yourself off from the very means of salvation. That's the sacraments. So you can see how this works. So in the Mass text, the collect tells us that we are honoring the saints and we are honoring them for the merits, for the rewards that they have received. Good works produce rewards. And having a reward is not bad. It is not selfishness to, as again, these things are attacked, it's not selfishness. Because that's what God wants. How do we know? How do we know that's what God wants? We don't have to go through any big, long reasoning process. Our Lord just laid it out. In the Sermon on the Mount, he starts out with, how we say, the constitution of the spiritual life. He starts looking at the heights from this mountain. And the chapel here is beautifully designed because it has all the first words of the Beatitudes, which we heard today. It's always in front of us. And we have the images of the saints, as Father explained. The whole mystical body is represented in the church building. Each of us is one of these stones. But some of us, the heroic, virtuous people, they are stones that come out from the wall. And we see them here. Blessed Mother and St. Joseph first. And then we have them all here. And what they did, they lived out these Beatitudes. We cannot go through. It's a great tract, a study of how grace works, how at baptism we receive sanctifying grace. We receive the virtues and the gifts. And when we practice these, and then there's the fruits and everything, but when we practice these things, they end up in these acts of the Beatitudes. So we have 3 theological virtues, 4 moral cardinal virtues for a total of 7 virtues, then the 7 gifts of the Holy Ghost. Okay, we're just repeating what Father has told us, but it's good to remember. Then we have the 7 gifts of the Holy Ghost depicted in the Holy Ghost window, those 7 gifts coming down, 1 for each of the virtues, so that we don't just practice these supernatural things in a human mode, but we practice them, which is active, but we practice them in a divine way, passive, letting God work more through us. And then when we do these things well, we have actions that result. And those good works are the Beatitudes. And so there are 7, 1 for each of the virtues and gifts. And then the 8th one is the summation of all. So that when others outside attack you for trying to do these things, rejoice. Because these are the words of God. It ends all discussion about being selfish on rewards and merits and all of that. Because your reward is great in heaven. God wants to reward us for being faithful. So we are here to honor. The Mass texts go into how it starts, Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We can't explain that verse from the Psalms. That is what we just outlined as a spiritual life. That is all enclosed in that. Wisdom, the highest of the gifts, resulting in the greatest beatitude, all starts with the lowest of the gifts, fear of the Lord. Pray God to enlighten you on all that that means. That's how it starts, and that's in the gradual. And then the other trick, besides fear of the Lord, which unfortunately many people do not have, the gradual goes on to say, we must seek. And that's why we mention everyone's here, because we have at least some kernel of wanting to get to heaven. Increase that, starting right now at this Mass. God, I want to be a saint. I want to love you. I want to show that love by my love of neighbor. That should be the prayer of all of us in honoring the saints and asking them to help us to join them. It's not impossible. With men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So it's good now to turn. We are here to honor the saints, but we also want to join them. How do we do it? We have all these things throughout the year to help us, but it's a good thing to remind ourselves of specific things. And often at the end of the year, we're starting now to look towards the end of the year, not just on the secular calendar, but on the church's calendar. And it's always a good time to see, that's what always happens when we come to the end of something. We kind of reflect and see, how well did we do? We've lived the life of Christ. And then in the Pentecost season, the Holy Ghost has sanctified us. Are we better today than a year ago? So we'll leave that for another time, because we still have some time to think and get that ready. But for the church at large, the grade is always A+ because of today. If we do what Christ wants, we will get there. There's no doubt about it. We have the feast, All Saints Day, coming at the end of the year to remind us, yes, it can be done. And how do we do it? Now, we think of St. Augustine, who spent about his first half of his life doing all kinds of bad things. And he said to his friend Alypius, who became a saint too, you have to remember, this man is a genius. Before his conversion, and this is minutes before, he said, "What are we doing to let the unlearned seize heaven by force, while we with our knowledge remain behind, cowardly and heartless, wallowing in our sins, because they have outstripped us and gone on before? Are we ashamed to follow them? Is it not more shameful not even to follow them?" How much longer are we going to wait? Now, we heard Father was telling last week about the miracle of holiness in young people. And we were thinking of, this is St. Augustine. Here's the genius pagan saying, he's seeing all these people going ahead of him. He's seeing people, as I thought last week when Father was speaking, little Nelly of Holy God. You may remember that story that Father told years ago. This was a small child. I think she died when she was six years old. Now, she's not a canonized saint, but this is her day. We can't go through her story, but you can just imagine. She was 6 years old. That's when she died. What happened? You can't tell it. Amazing. St. Augustine and all of us, St. Augustine's year. We're seeing the little child, Nelly, go ahead of us. There's something wrong in our heads. And we heard at last First Friday, by the way, if you can make it to First Friday, for the Sacred Heart, of course, but then to learn something, one quote last First Friday, quote from St. Alphonsus, and who's, when they uncovered his body, he was wearing a scapular, and it was preserved on him. His body had decomposed, but his scapular was still good, still perfectly preserved, to show his devotion to it and how strong it is, which we can't go into to that, but especially with the Sabbatine privilege and All Souls Day. By the way, if you can't come to the Mass on All Souls Day, have some mercy, especially on people you know who have died. But the quote from St. Alphonsus was, the father said, if you say the rosary, if you're devoted to the rosary, if you wear the scapular, and if you do some other little things, you can get to heaven. Now, father said, what those other little things? Well, but first two steps, say the rosary and wear the scapular. Now, we're going to take off a little bit on that, the little thing. Because the greatest saint of modern times, as Pope Pius XI said, was a person who made one trip to Rome, lived in the same area for her entire life. The last 9 years of her life was inside, I don't know, a couple acre place with walls around it. Nobody even knew her name. And of course, we're talking about the little flower. This is the greatest saint of modern times. Yes, it is. And you remember, last time we spoke, we told you one of the things she used to do, of course, was that she would pick a pin up for the love of God and save a soul. And she was in such a practice of doing that at the end of her life, because that's, if you talk about that, the fact that it's something going against yourself, because I want to move somewhere and there's that pin and I can easily walk past it because I've got more important things to do. But she would stop and pick it up with that prayer in her mind. She would be constantly making sacrifices like that. Always, she had said in her early years, she was dead at 24. She would said, I recognized that there were things blocking me from being close to God, and I dedicated myself to overcome them. That's a saint. So she would pick those pins up so that by the end of her life, she said, I had no more sacrifices. I had nothing to suffer anymore, because all of it was a joy to me. I was in such a habit of doing these things, of constantly doing this, that I was looking forward to the next chance to love God. Everything was an act of love. And since then, as we mentioned, in 1917, because it's a prayer we should not just memorize, but say often. One reason, because the Blessed Mother gave it to us. And the other reason is because it's going to make those little things, St. Alphonsus told us, those little things make us be saints. At the end of our lives, we're going to be like the little flower saying, I don't have to suffer anything anymore. I'm always looking for those little things I can do to love God. And remember that prayer, oh Jesus, for love of thee and for the conversion of sinners, in reparation for all the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer thee this sacrifice. The Blessed Mother gave us the prayer to say, not just the prayer that the little flower came up with, but the actual prayer to say. because she told us. Prayer and sacrifice is the message of Our Lady of Fatima. Prayer with the rosary and sacrifice by these little things. Love of God for the conversion of sinners to make up for sins against her. It's a simple equation. That's why we celebrate those saints who did it. We can too. So at this Mass, take on that intention that's in the gradual. Oh, we can't even, we'll just mention that one thought of the Sacred Heart. The Sacred Heart is the one. He's drawing us all. So he's there, and he's saying, come to me. All you who labor and are burdened. And the chant keeps singing, we're laboring, we're working, it's hard. The word is being sung, it's being drawn out by the chant, if you heard it, if you could see it, hear it. Is being drawn out because it's a struggle. But our Lord says, the Sacred Heart says, come to me. And he doesn't say, I will take it away for you. He says, I will refresh you. I will restore you. I will repair you. I will revivify you so you can carry it more. You can be like me, carrying the cross always. Always loving, loving me and neighbor. So when we receive Holy Communion at this Mass, that is our prayer, to honor the saints in the mystical body where we're so perfectly joined to them in communion and asking them to help us be saints. May God bless you.